Last week, we did chapter 8. The title was Silence in Heaven. And we saw the first four trumpet judgments of God. And so, silence in heaven, and now we're going to see two more trumpets, okay, two more angels blow their trumpets in this chapter 9. And so, silence in heaven, but unrepentance on earth. And that's really what we're going to see in this chapter. It's a shift as well. If you look at, and I hope you bring your Bibles because we're going to do some flipping. I got a lot on the scripture, and I better have my clicker in my hand, I guess. But there's some of the verses you're just going to have to look at if you want to see them. And most of them I have up here. Most of them are listed on your sheet, but some are not. But at the end of chapter 8, if you just look at chapter 8, the last verse in Revelation, it says, you know, the four angels have sounded for the first four parts of God's wrath, if you will, have been dispensed. And he says, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So there was four trumpets have sounded, and this angel comes and he flies through heaven saying, woe, 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 because there's three more. There's three woes, if you will, to come. And that's the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh angel blowing the trumpet. Okay? Three more parts of God's wrath to come. And the first four have to do with the environment. It talks about striking the grass and the trees, those kind of things, and then the sea, and then the rivers, and then the fourth one was darkness. And so those are all environmental things that could give us a lot of misery. As we know, when the sun's too hot, right, we complain. And if it's way too dark, you can't do anything. And of course, water and oceans and the grass all being burned. And so all those things make people very uncomfortable. You know, they tries us in ways, but it's mostly striking the environment and affecting people. But these last three strike people themselves. That's the shift. And I think that's why the angel goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because of the three yet to come. Up to now, it's just been the stuff around you. And yeah, maybe you got burned by the fire, or hit by the hail, or, you know, whatever. But these next three are directly going to affect you bodily, and as we're going to see here. And so, but for today, we're going to see the next two woes. And so, let's see what I got here. So verses 1 through 11. Of chapter 9, we have the fifth angel blowing the trumpet, and that's what I'm just labeling it, the locust judgment. And so we're gonna, you know, and if you remember from last week, having a hard time standing here, I'm wanting to move. You know, it's just like a child, right? You tell them not to do something, they want to do it. Most of the time, I do just stand here, but you know, now that I'm restricted, I want to go somewhere. You know, it's just our rebellious nature, isn't it? But anyway, the locust judgment, and I told you, you know, many of these judgments, many of these things of what God is doing are similar to what happened in Egypt. And so I just, you know, I've got some scripture out of Exodus. He says, else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I'll bring locusts into your coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth that one cannot be able to see the earth. Now, that's a lot of bugs. Okay, you can't even see the ground. And it says, they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remains unto you from the hail. So you already had hail and stuff, and which broke all the plants down and the trees. But now these locusts are going to come and just destroy everything. And if you've ever seen, you know, we've had some locust things even happen in our country, you know, back, I think in the 20s or something like that, and it just shreds the vegetation, just strips it. And it says that they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped. So those things that weren't killed by the hail or whatever is going to be eaten, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were upon the earth unto this day. And so the locust judgment for Egypt, now we're seeing the locust judgment for the world here in Revelation. And so that's the first 11 verses, and we're going to break them down. And so in verses 1 and 2, we see the location of the locusts. And he says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then the beginning of verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts. So that's the location. And we see that, you know, this is the bottomless pit. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit more in detail when we get down to verse 11. When we get down to verse 11, we'll really get into this. But I just want to point out a couple things here in this. And it says that, you know, the fifth angel sounded, saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given a key. So it's not a star, it's a him, and really it's an angel. It's an angel that has come down from heaven to earth. And he's given the key to the pit, and of course he opens the pit, and smoke comes out, and it makes things very dark. I mean, it must be a lot of smoke. It's making everything very dark. And so that's where the locations are. But in 3 through 6, we're going to see the purpose of the locusts. And it says, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. See a difference here? What do locusts do? I mean, locusts eat vegetation, okay? But this is not their purpose. In this case, and it says it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men. And this word man, it's not talking about male. It's talking about mankind. The word men here, when you look it up, it's talking about men and women, okay, people in general. It says, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And if you remember, in the previous, the 144,000, right? They were sealed with the mark of God on their forehead. For what reason? That they would be immune from the wrath of God. And so here we have, these guys are on the earth. This 144,000 are on the earth. They're there to witness. And yet, here comes the, you know, the wrath is going on. And so they're not being hit by the hail. They're not being plagued by all these things. And so here comes these locusts, which are like scorpions, and they're going to torment mankind, but they are not permitted to touch those with the mark on their forehead. Okay. And so, and it says, and to them it was given they should not kill them. So they're not even allowed to kill these people that they're going to torment. It says, but they will be tormented 5 months. Now, you know, we've been in this corona thing about 7 months or 6.5. So think about, you know, and most of us are sitting there going, man, how long is this going to last? You know, we're having to do these things and we can't do the things we want to do and all this stuff is going on. How long is this going to last? And it seems like a long time, don't it? And yet, basically, we're not really hurting. You know, we haven't had hail come down and destroy our stuff. We haven't had, you know, and all this stuff has happened. And now you have these beasts, these locusts coming up, and they're tormenting people, and these people can't die. And this is going on for 5 months. And it's a very powerful torment because, you know, it says they will be tormented 5 months. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death. I mean, this is how bad this is. You know, they're not wanting to live. But they shall not find it. And it says, and they shall desire to die, but death shall flee from them. So we have these locusts, and they can sting. I don't know, anybody been bit by a scorpion? Harvey, how is it?
I've been twice.
Is it good?
There was a big, long yellow one between the finger, and it just numbed me.
Yeah.
The smallest one was about as big as a quarter, and right with it. And it hit me in the palm of the hand, and that night it actually made it hard to breathe. But the big one didn't do that.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I saw some other hands. You know, was it fun?
The little guy was the worst.
The little guy was the worst. That's the way it is, right? Yeah. And so these are, you know, they're striking and they're tormenting, and and it's like locusts, right? So locusts swarm. So these things are going to be everywhere. You know, and you might say, well, step on them. There's so many of them. You know, I mean, you're just not going to win. They're going to be all over you. And, you know, just a terrible 5 months of torment, so much so that, you know, I guess people will want to die, but maybe they don't have the wherewithal to pull it off. You know, there's people that think about suicide, but, you know, they can't do it, you know. And I think that's what's, I guess God's going to kind of put it in them where they don't have it in them to do that. It's the only way I can explain it. Just me speculating on the verse. But they're going to seek death and they're not going to find it. You know, or maybe it'll be like Jonah. You know, Jonah tried to die, right? Remember, he's on the boat, big storm, you know, he said, well, you want to stop the storm, throw me overboard, right? Throw me overboard. They threw him over. And I think Jonah died, but God raised him up, you know? I mean, it's like, these guys are going to want to die, maybe God's just not going to let them die. But whatever it is, it says, I mean, you know, I just believe the Bible. I just believe what it says. It says they're going to seek to die, and they're not going to be able to. They're going to have to go through this. And so that's the purpose of them, though, is to torment anyone without the seal of God for 5 months. In 7 through 10, we have the destruction, or excuse me, jumping ahead because I'm getting into destruction here in a minute. Description of the locusts. And it says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. So I guess they had kind of a pointy head or something, just, you know, something like that. And it says, and their faces were as faces of men. So I guess they had eyes, you know, kind of a face to them, you know. And it had hair as women, so it had some kind of growth out of their head, I guess. I mean, these are pretty grisly looking creatures, I think. And teeth, like the teeth of lions. So I guess they got, you know, pretty good set of choppers on them. Okay. And it says they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And so you ever, you know, you got those bugs. You ever seen those brown water bugs, you know, that, I mean, you got to really step on those to kill them. I mean, if you just kind of don't get them good, you take your foot off and they keep running, you know. But when you do get them, you can feel the crunch, you know. I mean, there are bugs out there that have this skeleton, you know, I guess they call it an exoskeleton, you know. And they're very difficult to kill, aren't they? I mean, you know, you smack them. And if, you know, if you're using a newspaper or something trying to smack them, it's not like killing a fly. You know, they're not going to die. You got to get, you know, in my case, about 250 pounds on them to crunch those suckers, you know. So, you know, there's these guys are even worse, though. It says they're like breastplates of iron. So I think people are going to be trying to kill them. I don't think they're going to die. You know, I think those things are, there's some kind of a little animal here. And it says their sound of their wings are like the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And so, you know, just the wings going and, you know, and that's going to be, you know, and remember, it's dark. Everything's dark. I mean, it'd be bad enough to try and fight these things off in the light, right? We talked about before about how there was going to be darkness, about the hail coming down, about possibly tidal waves, you know, wrecking the power grid on the earth in a lot of places, and it's going to be dark, and now you got these bugs biting you and inflicting pain on you. You can't even see them. I mean, this is not fun. This is terrible. And it's going to be loud. And you're going to hear all this noise. And it says they had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their power to hurt, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So you've got these crazy creatures just wreaking havoc across mankind for 5 months. And that's after all the other four things that happened. So now we come to what I call the king of the locusts. Okay? In verse 11, and we'll spend a little bit of time here. Verse 11. And it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. So, now there are, positions on who this angel is, or what he represents. Now, if you ever read the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan, I believe, was the author. He likens Apollyon or Abaddon to Satan. He says it's Satan. But I don't agree. And I'm just going to lay my case out, okay? I just don't think it is. For one thing, we'll get into that. Let's look at some of Satan's attributes here. And what does Satan mean? Adversary. Okay? He's our adversary. In Peter, watch out for your adversary, the devil. He's our adversary. And he's against us. So everything about Satan is about being against us, to deceive us, because he wants us to fall, those kind of things. Okay? So I'm going to give you some scripture here. This is Psalm 109. It says, for the mouth of the wicked, the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. So we got, wicked, deceitful, lying speech. Okay? They compassed me about also with words of hatred, fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself to prayer. This is kind of a little aside by the psalmist. And then he says, they've rewarded me evil for good, hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. This is a whole thing about deceitful, lying people, hatred, all that. Satan's at his right hand. Satan's egging him on. Whoever this was that was oppressing this psalmist, okay? So we see what Satan does. And we know that, Satan is called a few things in the Bible: serpent, dragon, devil, Lucifer, Satan. Okay, those are basically the names of Satan. Those are completely different names than Abaddon and Apollyon. And so in the Hebrew, we have the word Abaddon. And I'm going to give you the verses. The verses you have listed there are the verses in the Old Testament, because the whole Old Testament is Hebrew and Aramaic. Okay, and Abaddon is used. So I'm going to give you these verses, and you see what you think Abaddon means. And I made it real easy for you because I highlighted it. Okay, so, so Abaddon. This is, hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. Okay, that word destruction there, that's Abaddon. Okay? Job 26. Job 28. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Okay? Destruction, that's Abaddon. Alright? Job 31. For it is a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. Okay? In Psalm 88. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Okay. Hell and Abaddon are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Okay, Proverbs. Hell and Abaddon are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Enter you into the straight gate. Oh, this is Apollyon. Okay, so now that's the Old Testament. Those are the areas where the word Abaddon is found, that I found. Okay, there could be more, I guess. But every time it's translated destruction. Destruction. Not deceiver, not liar, not adversary. Okay, it's destruction. So now we go to the New Testament, Matthew. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, that leads to Apollyon, okay, in the Greek. And many there be which go in thereat. Okay, Romans. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Okay, Philippians. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things in Philippians. So, again. And then 2 Peter. But there were also false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift Apollyon. Swift destruction. And then later in 2 Peter, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own Apollyon, or destruction. Every time it's translated destruction. And so we see, you know, this is a completely different name. Okay, so we got the wrong name. You know, if you think Apollyon or Abaddon is Satan, he's got the wrong name, number one. Okay, Satan's name is serpent, dragon, devil, Lucifer, Satan, the adversary, the liar, the deceiver. You know, that's Satan's name. Okay, then we got the wrong timing, because this guy just came down from heaven now. But we know that Satan came down a long time before that. And if you look in chapter 12 of Revelation, if you just turn a couple pages over, in verse 7, and remember, Revelation is in two halves. You got 1 through 11, okay? Then in chapter 12, we start over, and it's 12 through 22. So here we are at the very beginning in chapter 12, because it starts off, and we'll get into that when we get into chapter 12, but it's talking about creation and Eve and the birth of mankind and all that. But it says in verse 7 of chapter 12, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, see, so Satan had already been cast out. He didn't just come down here in chapter 9 during the wrath of God, okay? He'd already been cast out of heaven a long time before. And so it's the wrong timing. It's the wrong timing. Third, it's a very simple question here. It says in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, it says, he saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, who has the key to hell? Jesus. Okay? And if you don't believe me, just turn back to chapter 1 of Revelation. And in verse 17, I'll give you just a second, just a couple pages back. Okay? Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, it's in John writing, and he says, and when I saw him, who did he see? Jesus. Okay? This is when John sees Jesus. He says, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, says unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. I mean, this is Jesus. Okay? And it says, "And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." So Jesus has the key. Now, do you think Jesus is going to give the key to Satan? Okay? You know, but would Jesus give a key to an angel and say, you know, go down and unleash my wrath? I can see. I mean, you know, this is logical. Okay? And remember what Jesus said. Remember they accused Jesus of performing miracles by the power of Satan? And what did Jesus reply? He says, "Can Satan cast out Satan?" He goes, "No." And so God created an angel, and this angel's been around forever. God created everything in the first 7 days, 6 days. All things were created that were created, okay? So this angel's been around, but he created him with a purpose, and that purpose was to throw, later on, we'll see. I got ahead of myself. That's okay. But he created this angel for this time, to come down with the key, okay, to let these locusts out. Now, turn ahead to chapter 20 in Revelation. And verses 1 through 3, and we see this again. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be up. And after that, he must be bound or must be loosed for a little season." And so the same angel is powerful. He could actually cast Satan and bind him and put him in the bottomless pit. And again, we see where he had the key. The same angel has the key to the bottomless pit. And so, you know, I can see Jesus given the key to the angel to come down and do his bidding. And in this case, in chapter 9, it's to open this bottomless pit so that the locust can come out and the wrath, you know, continues. But see, here's the thing. And I mentioned this last week. You know, Satan does not rule in hell. Satan does not rule in hell. Hell was created for Satan by God. You know, you got to remember that. Hell was created for Satan and the angels that followed Satan right out of heaven. Remember we talked about the 200 million or the 102 million, and there's probably at least 51 million angels that followed Satan and all that. That hell was created for them. And then because of our sin, if we don't come to Christ, if we don't accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that's where we're going to go too. But hell was created for Satan. He doesn't rule there. Hell is not Satan's kingdom. It's not. He's not there right now. He's on the earth doing all this junk we got going on, right? All this evil. Okay, all this stuff that we don't like. Satan is behind all this, you know, along with our own hearts that are depraved. Okay, but Satan does not rule in hell. Hell is not Satan's kingdom. It is his downfall. It's his punishment. Satan is going to be tormented in hell forever. He's not ruling anything. God rules hell. God is over everything. God created hell. God rules it. God is the judge that says who goes there and who doesn't. God rules hell. You know, Satan's not down there with his minions plotting things. That's not where he's at. Man, if you can't tell he's on the earth, then you ain't been watching the news. That's just all I got to say. And you know what? Don't watch the news. It'll just depress you into oblivion. But you know, you got to kind of stay up a little bit on things. But good night. How many times you got to say it? Every hour they say the same stuff. Drive you nuts. You know, the news is like a Hallmark movie. You know, you watch it for 5 minutes and you already know how it's going to turn out. You know, I mean, you know, you take the first 10 minutes of a Hallmark movie, you know who's going to end up together. You know, there's some guy and some girl, and they kind of attracted, but then something happens. But you know it's coming at the end, right? You know, news is the same way. You know, you turn it on in 5 minutes. You got COVID. You know, you're going to have something about Trump, how lousy he is, and Biden, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, you watch it for 15 minutes, you're done, man. And of course, in our area, you'll see something about the fires, and then that's it. I mean, after that, it's just repetition, repetition, repetition. And I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, Satan is not making up his plans in hell. He's right here on earth doing his thing. He hates you. He hates God. He thinks in his pride he's going to defeat God. Okay? And that's why he's doing all this stuff. But we know, we've read the end of the book. We know that he is cast into the bottomless pit, and there he will remain once that happens forever. And so, you know, God rules. Okay, God allows things. For whatever reason, God allows Satan to have his way in a lot of things. But when the time comes, he's got an angel that can just cast him right into the pit when the time comes. His timing. Now, there's the first woe. Verse 12, just let you know there's two more woes coming. You know, one woe is past, and behold, there comes two more woes. Okay? And we have 13 through 21, which I call the sixth angel, or the horseman judgment. And we'll look at 13 through 15, we see the mission of the four angels. Okay, and the sixth, in verses 13 through 15, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of mankind. Okay, so you've got this mission of the four angels. And you know, I know in Genesis chapter 3, remember the tree of life, and the Euphrates River is also mentioned in creation. There was four great rivers. One of them was the Euphrates. So we kind of figure that, you know, Eden was somewhere around there, okay, around the Euphrates somewhere. But when Adam and Eve sinned and they had the four cherubims, it says, you know, guarding, you know, and you think about it, you know, if you were going to guard, like if this was the tree of life and you were going to guard it from anybody getting to it, you'd have one here and then one here, one facing this, you know, that way. You're covered, right? You got these four, because it says cherubim. It doesn't say four necessarily, but it does say plural, so we know there's more than one. But, you know, I wonder if these same four, because, you know, once the flood came and all that, geography changed a lot on earth. And, you know, maybe Eden, maybe it's all down at the bottom of the Euphrates River. I don't know. But these four angels are in... They're bound in the Euphrates River. So whatever that means, you know, they're in the river just waiting. Okay? And it says they were prepared. So these guys have been there a while. You know? I mean, just waiting for their time. Waiting for God. You know, God had a plan. He knew he was going to do this. And so they have, but their mission basically is to kill a third of all the people on the earth. That's their mission. And they're going to have a year, a month, a day, and an hour to do it. So a little over a year, a little over 13 months they're going to have, and they're going to be out there just the wrath of God. People are going to die. And that's their mission. And we see the method, okay? So 16 through 19, they have a mission, but the method is, it's not like these angels are the death angel like that went over in Exodus where he, you know, the death angel just came over and anybody that didn't have the blood on the post of the door, the firstborn died. And then we also see in the life of David when he sinned and he chose 3 days, you know, of death, basically, and the death angel came and there was like 70,000 people died or something like that because of David's sin. And so, but it's not that kind of thing. Instead, we see these creatures again. And we see in 16 through 19 a description of this, the method by which these people are going to die. And it says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. So this is quite an army, okay? And he says, I heard the number of them. And he says, and I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of the men killed by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So again, we see some, there's a couple of positions on this. One of them is that they're thinking these could be machines of war, you know, that have firepower from the front and firepower from the rear. It could be, but I don't know. It just seems to me these are creatures that, you know, just like God created special locusts. Well, he's got special horsemen and special horses that have been created for this job. I mean, you know, for this punishment. And this army has been created and prepared from the beginning. These angels have been in the Euphrates all this time, and they're still there. I believe they're there right now. Bible says they're there. Now, you either believe it or you don't. You know, sometimes we try to read a lot of things into things. I tend to just read it and go, you know what? God says there's four angels bound in the river, Euphrates, and at the right time, he's going to turn them loose, and they're going to inflict death upon a third of the earth. I just believe God. I mean, you know, all this other stuff he did, if he can do all that other stuff, I guess he can do this too, right? I mean, you know. And so I believe these creatures or whatever have been created and they're there and they're waiting for their marching orders, basically. They've been created and prepared. You know, I mean, you read this stuff. That's woe. You know, talks about woe, woe, woe. I mean, man. But here, we come to the response. And this is very sad. And this is just, it's really kind of incredible, except that it speaks to the hardness of men's hearts. Because we see the response to the four angels. The four angels are ahead of this army of horsemen, 200 million. They're out there for a year. I mean, it's not like they just hit and it was over. I mean, it is for a year. They are going across the earth, and a third of the people on the earth are killed by this army. Okay? But look at the response to this. Verse 20 and 21, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. Okay, so what have we had? You know, we've had the green grass and the trees were smote, the sea was smote, The rivers were smote. We had darkness in the land. We had these locusts come with scorpion things for 5 months. Now we've had this army for a year, 13 months out there, and it's horrible, and all these things. And it says the rest of the men, or mankind, again, the same word, it's talking about people, which were not killed by these plagues. And this is just, it's just stunning. Yet repented not. Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, their thefts. I mean, all this stuff. And you know what it is? It's just total blindness. It's like they're not associating what they do with what's happening to them. There's just no connection there. There's just nothing happening in their mind where, wow, I need to clean up my act. Okay? And, you know, look what he says. He says, he just lists them. Okay? He says, they repented not of the works of the hands. And so what were the works? What did they do? And he just lists them. They should not worship devils. Devil worship. Okay? And you know what? Devil worship is growing. Even in America, where there's a church on every corner, you know, but yet, you know, the devil worship is, it's alive and well. And it says in idols, idolatry, that repent of your idolatry. You know, and I love this. You know, and you see this in Psalms and other places. But he says, you know, here are things that are made. You know, you made them out of either gold or silver or brass, stone or wood. And these things can't even see, hear, you know, or walk. You know, they can't move. You know, your great powerful idol that you worship, you know, if you go move somewhere, you got to pack him. You know, you got to pack your God in a suitcase and take him with you. You know, he can't even be there. Aren't you glad that no matter where you go, God's already there? I mean, the true God, the real God. The one that really lives, the one that does have power and authority on earth. I mean, aren't you glad you don't got to pack your God in a suitcase and take him with you? this cracks me up, you know, because I love it because he put it on there. They can't see or hear, but they can't walk either, you know. So it's like, you know, your God's so powerful, yet, you know, you got to take him with you. Because if you don't, he gets left behind. You know, I guess you got to make yourself a new one. I mean, it's so silly, but people believe this stuff. You know, it's unbelievable. But then, neither did they repent of their murders. Man, murder going on. I mean, look what's happening now. I mean, you know, if you're a particular persuasion, they're just shooting you in the street, and they're not even being punished for it. Just protesting. Shouldn't have got in the way. It's crazy. And these people are not sorry. You know, it just looked like, you know, the president, you know, being sick, whatever you think of him. But there's people out there saying, I hope he dies. And they're saying worse than that. And, you know, it's just, and they're not repentant. They're not sorry they say it, okay? And of their sorceries or witchcraft. You know, people that practice witchcraft. And, you know, tarot cards and palm readers and, you know, all these things. And we've all seen them. You know, we see their places. Where were we? We were coming back from Ventura, and there's this RV sitting on the side of a road, like a homeless person had a big sign on the front of it. What did it say? Mobile card reader, I think it said. Yeah, I think I'll just pull over and have my fortune read by a person that can't even read their fortune enough to not be homeless. I mean, you know, I mean, come on, man. You know? nor of their fornication, their immorality, not repenting of it. You know, and this covers, I mean, you know, sexual sin, you know, divorce, and you know, all these things that have gone on. And you know, and listen, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, okay? Every one of us have got issues in some of these areas. But are you repentant? Have you turned from it? You know, God, you know, where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. But you know, you're not supposed to, you know, Jesus said, you know, to the woman, you know, yeah, I don't condemn you either, but don't do it anymore. Okay? And theft. I mean, we got an alarm system on here. Why do we have an alarm system on the church? Because we've been broken into like three times. You know, it's, you know, many of us have alarm systems. And, you know, don't leave something out in your front yard. It'll be gone. Thievery. I mean, it's crazy. Why do we have keys to everything? Because if you don't lock it up, somebody will steal it. And even if you do lock it up, they'll break in and steal it. There was a couple Saturdays ago, I think it was a week ago Saturday, out at the National Mall in Washington, they had the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. I don't know, did anybody look at any of that? Anybody? Wow, nobody. About a couple people. Okay. And there was a lot of people there. I mean, it filled up that whole, you know how they got that Washington Monument and that big reflecting pond kind of thing, and then the stage is way back here, and there's all, I mean, it was people all the way. I mean, it was just full. And it was a whole bunch of people from different religions, okay, different, but the whole point of it was repentance. Our nation needs to repent. And I watched most of it, and it got a little repetitious because they were constantly quoting. I mean, everybody got up there, quoted, I think it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think is the verse. I mean, if my people who are called by my name, you know, will, you know, repent of their wicked ways, and I will heal their land, you know, all that. You know, I mean, you know the verse. And they were repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. I'm like, okay, okay, okay. But the stuff they were saying was good. But the one that really... the one that really got my attention was Dr. Dobson. Okay? And he had 7 minutes. You know, they give, and they were on a schedule. I mean, it was like, you got 7 minutes, and you say what you got to say, and you get off, because we got, I mean, they had, it went on all day. It was like, it was all day, or half, it was the evening on Friday, and then like all day Saturday, and they had a break in there, obviously, for food and stuff, but he got up there. Or his was taped, I think. He wasn't there. I think it was a video. But I'm going to read you just a part of it. I got pretty much the whole thing here, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But this is the part that struck me. And I think we as Christians have had our heads in the sand a little bit about our nation. And he just flat says it, which is what struck me. Because you just don't see... we see a lot of people mincing words or kind of smoothing it out a little. But Dobson just laid it out there. Here's what I'll just read this one kind of long paragraph, but gets the point. He said this: I am deeply concerned about our nation's depravity and where it is leading. As I am sure you know, America has become morally bankrupt and is spiritually bereft or lacking. Sadly, she has prostituted herself with pornography, perversion, pedophilia, profanity, infidelity, greed, pride, sexual slavery, premarital sex, the LGBT ideology, illicit drugs, lawlessness, dishonesty, hatred, racism, wanton violence, family abandonment, public schools that are corrupting our young, and apostasy. What a statement. The institution of marriage, which was ordained by the Creator, is the metaphor for the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church, and yet marriage has been redefined and perverted. Among America's most heinous sins are the murders of 62 million babies who were being knitted together in their mother's wombs and then ripped without anesthesia from their places of safety. Their blood calls out to the Creator from the ground in which it lies. There is one phrase to describe the godless culture that we live in. It is utter wickedness. If this is left to its own course, it will eventually bring divine judgment. There is only one hope for the survival of this great nation, and that is repentance before a holy and righteous God. It means conviction, contrition, and change, that is turning from evil. And then he goes on into the Old Testament about how Israel failed to repent, and you know, they were delivered and, you know, to the Babylonians and all that. And I just thought, you know, you just don't hear anybody say it. We all know it's bad. I mean, nobody here, I think, is ignorant of that all these things. But to flat dab just say it, like he did, it struck me more than anything else that was in that whole, however many hours that thing was. It struck me. You know, we say, well, you know, we still have a lot of good people. Listen, we live in a depraved culture. It is wicked. And we've got to own that. And the church needs to own its sin. Look at how many churches they've kowtowed to the cultural pressure. You know, they even have now ordained homosexual preachers. They're ordained. I mean, the church has gone up, bought into it. And, you know, we need to repent. And I, you know, I think of, you know, Isaiah, who, you know, when he was confronted with God, he was so aware of his own lack of righteousness. And he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And then he started praying for the nation, you know, of Israel at that time. You know, my nation is a nation of unclean lips. You know, started he was praying on behalf of everything that he had anything to do with, because it was wicked. We have seen the first six trumpets of God's wrath. It is troubling to me that the people that are going through this will not repent. I mean, that's what struck me. You know? But you know what? It amazes me, but at the same time, I look at America, and this isn't even God's wrath. This is just reaping what we sow, kind of. You know, and there's not a lot of repentance going on. I mean, think about it. You know, the divorce rate in the church is equal to the world. And I'm not here, I mean, I know, look, there's a lot of divorced people in the church. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm saying we do need to say, though, that it is sin and ask God to forgive us. It's wrong. I've dealt with families that both were divorced, and they both had kids, and they came together. And they're saying, we're having million, you know, tons of trouble with our kids. And I'm like, have you ever asked your kids for forgiveness? Have you ever asked God for forgiveness for your sin? And then asked your kids to forgive you and say, you know what? I know you didn't sign up for this. God's perfect plan is, you know, mom and dad together forever. And it didn't work out. And please forgive me. It was wrong, you know, but that's all I can say at this point, you know. But we don't even do that. It's troubling to me that people go through things and they don't repent. Remember, the goal of God's wrath is not to reform. You know, God's not doing this to make these people better. It's punishment. You know, we've kind of lost that, you know, in America. Well, you know, we put them in prison to rehabilitate them. Hello, that's why it doesn't work. You know, prison is punishment. The death penalty, they say, well, it doesn't deter anybody. Well, it's not. It may deter some people, but it's really not supposed to. It's punishment. There are certain deeds that we do, that we can do, that the punishment is death. It should be. It's punishment. It's not reform. God's not trying to reform these people. It's the wrath of God. He already sent Jesus Christ. He already said, hey, you know, you have a way out of this. He already did that. That's your, if you want to be reformed, accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But He's now punishing, and he's taking vengeance. Remember the prayer back in, I think it was chapter 5 or 6, where those saints that were killed are saying, how long, O Lord, until you, I think it was the fifth seal, how long, O Lord, until you take vengeance on our blood? And he said, yet a little while. Well, now he's doing it. In what we're reading here, he's doing it. America has been sowing the wind for decades and is now reaping the whirlwind. We've sowed the wind, folks. We allowed prayer to get kicked out of schools. I mean, you know, the redefinition of marriage, you know, all this gender stuff. I mean, you know, it's just, and it's just accelerated, hadn't it? At first it was just one thing, and it didn't really affect us, so we just really didn't say anything. But now it's affecting us, isn't it? We're reaping the whirlwind. America needs to repent of the evil that has taken over our country. Repentance must start with believers. The lost people aren't going to repent. Okay? Starts with us. And that's where that scripture, if my people, okay, who are called by my name, okay, it starts with us. Starts with believers. If the church fails to acknowledge its sin, God has no choice but to punish us also. And you know, and it's, you go back in church history, persecution is what elevates the church. Check it out. You know, some of the fastest growing places in the world for Christianity? Iran. Where it's persecuted the most. I mean, you know, you get caught in Iran, you're probably going to die. You're just probably going to be executed. Or put in a prison that you wouldn't, you'd probably rather be executed. China? Yet Christianity. But here, where we have freedom, at least still some, a little apathetic, I think, the church has been. Maybe I'm being kind. But God will have no choice. We don't face the wrath, but we're sure facing, we're reaping what we've sown, aren't we? It's time to get real with ourselves and with God. It's time to get real with ourselves and with God. Where are we at? As in, start with you. You know, every time you point a finger at somebody, you got like three pointing at you. Yeah, that guy's doing this. Or yeah, what about you? You know what I mean? What about me? You got to get real with who we are and what we're doing and what we're approving of. If not, we may not be saying it, but maybe by our lack of saying anything, it's like tacit approval. You know, even if we don't agree with it, if we fail to say something, you might as well agree with it, right? I mean, it just goes on. And then we got to get real with God too. Just say, you know, Father, forgive me. You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I deserve hell. It's time to get real with ourselves and with God. If we do, God could restore America. You know, are we as bad as Nineveh? I don't know. We're probably pretty close. But God sent Jonah and he preached the most lackluster message in history with a bad attitude, and God saved that entire nation. And he can do that with America. But if we don't repent, punishment is certain. Can't mock God. You can't just keep going against things he says in his word and think there's never going to come judgment. There's never going to come a time that he's going to deal with it. You know, that's, you know, these babies that get killed every single day, God's been letting it go on since 1971 or whenever it was. I mean, it was going on before that, but not endorsed by the government. Okay, there's always been sin, but not necessarily endorsed by the government. And, you know, he's let it go and let it go and let it go. And I love that what Dobson said. You know, is not the blood of all those 60-something million people crying out, even like Abel's blood cried out to God, and God confronted Cain? How much more 60-something million innocent blood? I mean, they didn't even get born. They didn't even get a chance to sin, if you will, you know? They didn't even get a chance. Punishment is certain, but the choice is ours. I don't know who, somebody here, you know, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, punishment is certain because you have sinned. And you may not have done some of the things I read about tonight, but you have sinned. And Jesus came that you would not have to pay the price for that sin. He paid the price for you. But you still have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You still have to acknowledge that you need a Savior. You have to acknowledge that you do not have a right to be with God in heaven. You are already, the Bible says, you're already condemned to hell. It's not a matter of, you know, right now, I know I'm kind of bad, but I'm going to do some good things here and kind of even. No, the Bible says you're already condemned and there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus had to do it for you. And you place your faith and trust in Him and ask God to forgive you based on what Jesus did. And you know what the miracle is? God accepts that. He accepts that prayer and He answers it. And there could be somebody here today, somebody watching, and you know, maybe you need to just ask God to forgive you and just recognize that you're in need of a Savior. And He's here. He came. He died, He rose again, He's alive, and he saves people every day. And it could be you, too. But you know what the sign of that is? If you truly accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, the sign of that is you do repent. Well, all repent means is turn. It means, wow, I was this, but I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to go do this. Turn from your wicked ways. Admit you have wicked ways. Maybe there's the place you need to start, because a lot of us don't think there's anything wrong with us. It's part of the problem. But if you do, if you just admit to God what He already knows, He is faithful and just. He'll forgive you. He'll adopt you into His family. And one day you'll be with Him forever in heaven. Doesn't get any better than that. The alternative is take your place with Satan in the bottomless pit. That's the alternative. The lake of fire is the alternative. Created for Satan. Not created for you. Created for Satan. But you know what? If you don't line up with God, you automatically line up with Satan. And you're going to go where he goes. But it doesn't have to be. For the rest of us, you know, we're still in the age of grace. Praise the Lord for that, right? There's still grace. Yeah, we've all got some things about us that need to change. And God is gracious. But you know what? We need to get real with God. We need to get real with ourselves. We're going to have an invitation now. I guess Kathy's not here today, so we got our little thing here. You can have every head bowed and eye closed. Just a hard sermon, but you know, it's one that's needed in this country. It's one that God put in His Word for us to take note of. Is there anybody here that you would say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I never asked Him to forgive me. Never accepted the grace that is available to me. And I recognize that today. Maybe you've been fooling yourself for a time. But now the reality has hit you. You're in trouble. You're without the Lord. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. There may be someone at home, you know, go to HDBC website and information is there, and you can contact me. You can email me. I'll talk with you. For the rest of us, you just need to ask yourself, am I real with myself? Am I real with God about who I am, about the things that I've been harboring? And is there something I need to change? Is there something I need to repent from? And let God minister to you. Amen. I see that hand. Yeah, if you want prayer, just lift your hand up. I'll pray for you. It's so important to just come clean with God. He already knows. Just go ahead and admit it to Him. This is your time. Take advantage of it. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You revelation song playing. You know, hopefully you've given us a revelation today, Lord. Who you are, who we are, how it all fits together. Lord God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they would come to you humbly and just ask you to save them, Lord. Just confess that they're a sinner, Lord. Pray they do that. If any of us have got some things in our life that needs to change, could be something really big, or maybe just something that maybe the way men would look at it would not be big, but to you it's big, Lord. Father, we need to get real with you. Help us to do that. Help us to just open up to you. If we can't be honest with you, who can we be? Lord God, work in us that our churches would stand strong for you and repent. Yes, we need to repent and turn toward you in every facet of our lives. That you would be glorified and that you just maybe, by your grace, have mercy on us. Grant us some more time. Time to reach others. Time to reach out and touch people for Jesus. Father, help us to do that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience and your willingness to work with us. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.